Presented by T-Mobile, the official wireless partner of Odyssey Sports. With an awesome network and great savings, there's never been a better time to join T-Mobile. Visit your neighborhood store to make the switch today.
Okay, picture this. It's Friday afternoon when a thought hits you. I can spend another weekend doing the same old whatever, or I can hop into my all-new Hyundai Santa Fe and hit the road. With available H-Track all-wheel drive and three-row seating, my whole family can head deep into the wild. Conquer the weekend in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com or call 562-314-4603 for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.
This is the Front Office Report with Sox Chief Baseball Officer Chaim Bloom on the Greg Hill Show. This is WEEI.
Looks like some good news when it comes to five questions with Jan from the office. Looks like we'll be able to record it, end of the show, and then play it tomorrow. Is that correct?
That is correct. Negotiating. Right. I mean, I was on fire.
Okay. Good. All right. So you saved it.
I did.
Well done.
Another pat on the back that I won't receive.
All right. Red Sox front office report time right now. And joining us is the chief baseball officer of the Boston Red Sox, on the Harbor One hotline, Chaim Bloom. Good morning, Chaim.
Good morning.
Where are you? We had a scheduling kerfuffle because Curtis had booked Jan from the office same time as you. Were you an Office fan?
Yeah, I've seen more of the American version than the UK version.
Yeah.
Do
you have a favorite episode?
Oh, it's been a while since I've watched it regularly, so I don't know that there's one episode I could pick out, but pretty clever show.
Yeah, yes, very clever. Well, thanks for being on. Obviously, preparations underway for the home opener, and we're looking forward to that tomorrow. I certainly want to get into some of the stuff that is being talked about with regard to a couple young superstars on this team. But before that, I would just ask you, with two series under the belt here, how do you feel like this team is looking so far?
Yeah, I think we've looked all right. Obviously, you know, there's been some good, some not so good. But we played six close games. I would say yesterday was probably a little closer than it needed to be. But, you know, to come out of the chute with really some high pressure baseball from the jump, you know, extra innings on opening day, you know, putting a lot of guys in pressure situations, coming off a short spring training, pretty happy overall with how everybody's responded, how the vibe has been. It's taken the bats a little while to get going. Good to see some signs of life yesterday. You know, like I said, we've had some guys tested right out of the chute, especially in our bullpen. For the most part, really happy with how they responded.
I won't ask you a question that requires an answer on contract specifics or offer specifics, because I would guess that your answer would just be that you don't discuss specifics. So, but I'm sure you're aware that fans may wonder why you have two young superstars in the form of Bogarts and Devers that don't necessarily appear to be, based on outside view, happy with what the Red Sox offered, and why you weren't able to get deals done in either case. Could you talk a little bit about that in non-specific terms?
Yeah, I'll do my best. And you know, you're right. Like I've said this a bunch of times. Like I don't think it's something we should get into detail on publicly. I just don't think it's right for us to do. And, you know, and there's obviously reports out there, and they then get into confirming, denying, refuting, correcting, whatever. Like, I don't think that's very productive. But, you know, what I will say generally, you know, whenever you're talking extensions, you know, free agency is free agency, obviously. When you're talking extensions and doing things early, so to speak, like, now you're adding more variables, right? There's risk that gets shared when you do those things. There's upside that gets shared. There's just much more potential, even if the desire is there and the player wants to be here and we want the player here, there's just much more potential for people to see the world differently. And, you know, in those cases, without getting into too much detail, you know, it was fairly clear, you know, early on that we weren't going to align. Obviously, if we were seeing the world exactly the same, we would have aligned. But, you know, those guys are still here. And, you know, we didn't find that alignment this time. And they're here and they're going to go out and we're all going to go out and try to win a World Series. And we'll have a chance to take this up again down the road. And things will be different for everybody at that point in time. And we'll see where we're at, and hopefully we can find that path.
I'll try to approach this in a bunch of different ways and see if I can get anywhere. So on looking specifically at Devers, let me ask it this way. Philosophically, where do you stand when it comes to long-term deals, you know, 10-year deals with players?
Yeah, and I think, you know, this question came up, obviously, when, you know, we went through everything that we went through with Mookie when I first got here. And, you know, I said, for me, you know, there's not necessarily like, hey, philosophically, I'm opposed to it. I think it gets down to, obviously, the player, the terms, the timing, and the situation you're in. Obviously, those deals, they bring a lot of stability. You know, they have different upsides and risks. It really just comes down to the terms and the timing. And, you know, we're certainly in a very different place now than we were a couple years ago. And, you know, it's again, when you're this far out from free agency, there's a lot of different ways to see the world of what that time should mean for each side. And sometimes that makes it easier to align, but sometimes it makes it tougher because there's different ways to look at, you know, what that runway should mean for everybody. So we haven't found that path yet, you know, with Rafi, but obviously this guy's one of the bright young stars in the game, and it's awesome that he's here, and we hope he's here for a long time.
Chaim, how do you make sure, you know, as a former athlete, it's always like contract talks can sometimes bleed into performance or relationships. So how do you make sure that there are no issues that, you know, obviously when you're not able to get something done at the time that, you know, both parties want to get it done, that it doesn't affect the performance or the relationship moving forward?
Yeah, the performance, obviously, you know, everybody handles that differently. You know, with respect to those two guys, I mean, they are tremendous professionals. They're focused on winning. I don't have any concerns about that with either of them. And, you know, as far as the relationship, look, I'm not going to speak for anybody. I think in this business, you know, especially from a front office perspective, you know, we're constantly, you know, trying to have really good relationships with all of our players, understanding that, you know, there's a business side to the game. And that's not to, you know, single out those two guys. It's true with everybody. And that's always the case. And, you know, you can have tremendous relationships with a player. And then sometimes, you know, I've been in those situations where you have to deliver bad news. You have a young player who you're really fond of that gets to know you, and then you have to send him down, something like that. Those conversations do happen. I think everybody's pretty mature about those things. That's what we all try to do, is maintain an environment where, you know, people understand that there's a lot of different factors here, but they know, you know, that this is a place where they can be themselves, and that they know our intentions and our ultimate goal, which is to have a championship team. And as long as that's in place and we're open and honest with our players and we're accessible to them, I think, you know, we can maintain a pretty good environment. And that's what we've tried to do here.
Chaim, you bring up the negotiations with Mookie in regards to what's going on now. And there were a lot of rumors back when that happened. And I think the feeling amongst fans and the media maybe was that he just wanted to go out west. He didn't want to be in Boston. And today, the New York Post has an article out saying Rafael Devers wants to spend forever in Boston. Does that ever come across your desk? Does that conversation ever happen between you and these players where it is, you know, money's great, but they want to be somewhere, or money's great and they want to be here?
Yeah, I'm never worried too much about, and even in the case with Mookie, about what, you know, the speculation that there other people have about where a player does or doesn't want to be. You know, we know those guys like it here, and that's meaningful to us.
We discussed the other day briefly, Kike being mic'd up the other night. I love it. Do you like it? And how do the players feel about it?
It's funny, when this first came up, I definitely think, you know, from a fan perspective, it is entertaining. There's no question about it. I would never want a player put in a position where they're asked to do something while they're competing on the field that they're not comfortable doing. We all know, look, again, we're in the entertainment business, right? We want eyeballs on our product, and there's a lot of things that that we all do to get that, and you hope that it doesn't take away from competing. But, you know, one thing you could say about Kike is not afraid of the spotlight at all. So I don't think it took him off his game. And, you know, anytime those types of things come, you know, come our way, we always want to make sure, starting with Alex, that everybody's comfortable with what's going to happen during the game, and that, you know, we're not taking away from competing. We appreciate that people want to hear from our players. They want to see us. You know, this is one of the flagship franchises in all professional sports. We like that. And, you know, we like being front and center. We just want to make sure that we're able to compete, you know, to the best of our ability.
Hi, I mean, you talk about the mic'd up and some of the technology in baseball. In ESPN, I mean, they were highlighting the catcher to pitcher device that the Yankees were using, and you know, during the game, the Sunday night game you played against them. How do you feel about that? Do you feel like that is something that helps the game? Does it slow the game down, or what's your mindset when you look at the communication being utilized between the catcher and the pitcher and that kind of device that they're using?
Yeah, I think in the long run, it should be a good thing for the game, because we know how the game can slow to a crawl when there's a runner on second and everybody's worried about signs and the runner seeing those signs and relaying them to the hitter. So I think in the long run, this should help speed up the game. Now, obviously, anytime you're adopting something new, there's going to be some kinks to work out. And I think that's where we are right now as a sport, where it may be that early on, this is not going to make the game that much faster because everybody is getting used to this. And everybody is getting used to, you know, when you're out there in a rhythm and you're trying to compete, and now there's a different way that you're getting the signs that might affect you mentally until you're used to it. So I think we'll get there. As a sport, I think we're on the right path, and this is a good thing for us to be exploring. But, you know, none of this stuff is something you can ever expect to be seamless.
Hi, what's the purpose of presenting a contract that has no likelihood of being agreed to?
Well, again, I don't want to get into, you know, the truth or lack thereof or any of that about anything that's out there. Look, I think every discussion you have, you know, with any player about these sorts of things, the discussions start somewhere, and sometimes they progress and sometimes they don't. So, you know, obviously if these discussions had progressed, you know, we'd be in a different place right now. They didn't. And, you know, again, we're excited to take it up again down the road.
All right. Well, 2:00 tomorrow, any hints that you can give us on, first pitch or anthem or anything? I know you always say that you leave that up to others, but you must know something.
Yeah, you know, to be honest, I've been so focused on other things that I even if I wanted to spill the beans, I wouldn't even know which beans to spill, because I haven't been worried too much about that. The one thing I know, this organization does a tremendous job putting on a show, so I'm sure it's going to be awesome. And main reason it's going to be awesome is because our fans are going to be back, and we know what this place is like the last time it was full of our fans. And you're so excited. I mean, you know, especially for guys that haven't experienced this, when you think about players that it's going to be their first home opener with the Red Sox, you can have a long and productive career in this game and never have a home environment like we have. And seeing it, you know, what I experienced last fall for the first time, and seeing that is amazing. And I'm so excited to see it through the eyes of our guys who have not experienced that before in their careers. It's going to be awesome.
And for you too, think about it. You can be the president of the Cincinnati Reds.
Yeah, that one, geez, you guys are just pushing me to see what you can throw out there that I won't touch. All right. I'll say, hey, we have it really good here. We have the best fans. It is amazing here. And
It's going to be amazing tomorrow. And it looks like, you know, knock on wood, hopefully it's going to be a wonderful day. Our fans are going to bring it, and they always do, and it helps us win.
Any room in the suite? Maybe I'll slide over for a dog, third or fourth inning tomorrow?
You know, if you never ask. So if you want to come in, you know, we can hang.
All right. We hung a little in – I don't want to reveal any inside information, but we hung a little in Fort Myers. I mean, I think we had a little fun down there.
Okay.
Yeah. No, I mean, seriously, we should watch a few innings together someday.
All right. Okay.
Well, that's good. He's only used to watching a few innings anyway.
I have a very important question.
I need six tickets. I'm going to bring a few people.
Haim, what would happen if Alex Cora pulled a Red Sox pitcher the way Roberts pulled Kershaw yesterday with the perfect game?
Well, I hope we're in that situation where our guy's throwing a perfect game. Let's get there and then see what happens. Look, this is, you know, you talk about tough decisions. That's never a comfortable spot for a manager, especially early in the season, coming off a short spring. You know, weather was what it was there. It's a tough spot for a manager to be in. The way I look at it, look, obviously it's not my business to comment on, somebody else's organization, but I would, if we were in that situation, you know, it's not an easy call. The one thing I would say is whatever you think of those types of decisions, you have to respect, you know, the intentions of the manager at that point where, you know, the only reason you do that is because you're focused on the long haul. You're focused on the ultimate goal, winning a championship and taking care of your player in the long term. And that doesn't mean the trade-offs are ever easy, but you have to respect those intentions. And, you know, when those tough decisions happen and you look at a manager in any decision, you're like, man, you know, I would have gone another way. You got to respect the conviction it takes to say, listen, I've got my eyes on a different prize, and I'm going to follow that where it takes me.
Great to talk to you. Thanks for taking the time. We'll talk to you again soon, and go get them tomorrow. We'll look forward to talking to you soon, Haim. All right?
Sounds good. Sounds good. Likewise.
Okay, picture this. It's Friday afternoon when a thought hits you. I can waste another weekend doing the same old whatever, or I can conquer it. I can hop into my all-new Hyundai Santa Fe and hit the road. Any road. The steeper, the better. Because my all-new Santa Fe is available with H-Track all-wheel drive, so I can hit the trail without a worry in the world. Heck, with three rows and best-in-class rear cargo space, I can pack the whole family in with all our gear. We've got available dual wireless charging for our phones, so we'll never lose touch with civilization, and we won't lose touch with the primordial power of Mother Earth. So which is it? Waste the weekend or do something a little more epic? And conquer it in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com or call 562-314-4603 for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.